This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Tuesday, March 1st, 2022. Good morning and welcome back to hour number two of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us across America on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. On Tuesdays, I always remind you that we should pray to our guardian angel in our everyday lives and now more than ever. We continue with the sixth day of the Russian invasion of Ukraine as Russia pummels Ukraine's number two city and a 40-mile convoy nears Kyiv. I want to bring in Glenn Leverins. Glenn, the world is watching the ongoing events in Ukraine. What is the latest this hour?
Well, from a military standpoint, it looks like the latest plan for Russia to encircle the capital of Kyiv with that 40-mile-long convoy snaking down from the northwest, originally starting in the neighboring country of Belarus, who's also said, hey, we might join this thing officially, as opposed to just letting Russia use some of their land as well. Shelling of civilian areas in Kharkiv, the second largest city, has killed many, many overnight. Vladimir Zelensky appealing to the EU for membership in the EU in hopes that would help just a little bit. We played this a moment ago on the newscast, but I'd like to play this again. As he spoke via video conference to the European Union, the European Parliament, the translator actually broke down as he was explaining the situation.
They're fighting just for our land and for our freedom. Despite the fact that all large cities of our country are now blocked.
Again, that's the translator for Vladimir Zelensky, kind of getting emotional as he's translating live. Parliament gave him a standing ovation, and he's asking for much more than that, of course. And the NATO countries, careful as far as how much help we give, as in not to start World War III in a nuclear way.
Glenn, very, very moving to hear the words of the Ukrainian president. Meanwhile, Russian President Vladimir Putin is facing accusations of war crimes for the Ukraine invasion. It's alarming. It's so concerning. The world is watching when we hear reports of civilians being targeted, civilian families being shot and killed, civilian neighborhoods being pummeled and bombed.
Yeah, that would be against the Geneva Convention, it would be a war crime using some of the munitions that Russia reportedly has used, the cluster bombs, against civilian targets in that second city of Kharkiv in Ukraine. Physical evidence of that, video evidence of that, and we can only hope that does not continue, but odds are it may at this point. As far as the refugees, again, the number about 660,000 so far, and it's predicted as many as 5 million may try and flee the country. If you've seen those pictures of miles and miles and miles long car traffic jams, folks headed west to Poland for safety, the stories of families being broken up as mom and the kids are dropped off at the border, dad heads back to fight. Every male between 18 and 60 are called to stay and fight, not allowed to leave the country. They're not even allowing the guys, in many cases, on the trains to get from Kyiv to the western part of the country as well. And as far as the U.S. response in an economic sense with those economic sanctions on Russia, really long lines at the ATMs the last couple of days since the big sanctions were slapped on Russia. And as a matter of fact, one of their main stock markets shut down for the entire week as well as the value of the ruble continues to fall. Again, that may well, as it should, pale in comparison to the humanitarian toll, but one of the ways we're fighting back, making life more difficult for Russians as well.
I understand that the price of the ruble is worth about an American penny right now. That's how bad it's going economically for Putin and Russia.
Yeah, it's designed to affect his ability to wage war, although we have not yet sanctioned the export of Ukrainian gas to the U.S. And so that's another step some are calling for. Some saying, well, he'll find another customer in China. has not spoken out too boldly against the Russian action, refusing thus far to actually acknowledge it's an invasion.
Well, Glenn, our nation and the eyes of the world will be on the words of President Biden tonight in the State of the Union address. What can we expect?
Well, he will address this because it would be hard not to. It's on everyone's mind. He's also slated to talk about the economy a little bit more in light of really tough inflation, the worst in some 40 years, and things going on in Europe right now aren't going to help that as well. So it'll be interesting. He has quite a challenge. You know, as we know, the poll numbers for him have been very low throughout much of his presidency and only at 37% approval right now.
Well, as always, thanks so much, Glenn, and we'll be connected with you throughout the morning for the latest updates on this war in Ukraine. Thanks so much.
All right. Sounds good, John.
We begin every hour in prayer, always giving thanks to our Lord for our many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. And we especially continue to pray for peace in Ukraine with Russia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Now, can you believe that Lent begins tomorrow with Ash Wednesday? The question is, are you ready? Are you prepared for the beginning of Lent? Well, here at Relevant Radio, you can take your Lent experience to the next level with Father Rocky's Lenten Lessons on the Mass, which are free to you every single day. This super-duper, as Father Rocky likes to call it, premium edition video series goes behind the scenes of the Mass, from the moment you enter a chapel to the final blessing. Sign up for Father Rocky's new Lenten Lessons on the Mass. It's still not too late. You can do it this morning at relevantradio.com/Lent and get ready to learn the Mass, live the Mass, and love the Mass more than ever before. Again, that's relevantradio.com/Lent and do it this morning. Again, it is not too late. Tomorrow is Ash Wednesday, and we're going to be talking a little bit later this hour with our very own Relevant Radio CEO, Father Rocky, who will further explain how we can have a super-duper Lent and also how we can continue to pray and fast for peace in Ukraine. The Holy Father, Pope Francis, has called tomorrow to be a special day of prayer and fasting specifically for peace in Ukraine. And that's something that's on the hearts and minds of all of us. Our power scriptures we do every morning from the Playbook of Life, I believe, is more relevant than ever. It's from Romans 8:28. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "We know that in everything God works for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose." The Apostle St. Paul reminds us that all things happen for the good of those who love God. During these difficult times that we are living in for our nation and for the world, we have to have a spiritual perspective. Nothing happens in this world without the will of God. The Lord is the Lord of the universe. Nothing happens without either his direct will or his permitting will. This is divine providence, and we have to have the faith that our Lord Jesus Christ does not abandon us and is always with us, no matter what is going on in the world, no matter the circumstance. And we always go to Mary, our mother, the Queen of Peace, who leads us to her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And we pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. A number if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. And now let's talk about love.
When I say goodbye, it is never for long, 'cause I know our love stays. again exactly like it was. 'Cause I believe in the power of love.
Yes, indeed. Now, as many of you know, today is known as Fat Tuesday or Mardi Gras. Tomorrow we begin the season of Lent with Ash Wednesday. We enter into the desert with our Lord Jesus Christ for a 40-day retreat. Today, in our weekly Remember You Are Loved segment, Martha Fernandez Sardina will tell us why Lent is for lovers. Martha is an international bilingual speaker, teacher, trainer, writer, consultant, outreach developer, and the former director for evangelization for the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. and San Antonio. She's also the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com and the host of Remember You Are Loved TV series. Good morning, Martha. Thanks so much for being with us this morning. Great to be with you on another Tuesday.
Good morning. Great to be with you, John. Well, I think that Lent is for lovers for many reasons, and the first of which is we're going into a retreat. It's like a getaway with our Lord, with the love of our lives, or He who should be the love of our lives. And for those of us who have not experienced the love of our lives, Jesus Christ, this is a great time for us to get closer to the Lord than ever before. It's sort of like the last lap of marriage prep when you're just getting close to your sacrament of marriage, and then it'll give way to the Easter honeymoon, so to speak. It's also drawn like a crash course in the basics of Christianity, in which we discover how deeply and dearly loved we are by God, that He would give His only begotten Son, that He would give His life, Jesus would give His life for us on the cross. And so we have like an immersion experience in the basics of the faith and the fact that God is willing to sacrifice His very life so that we might have life eternal with Him. And it's in a sense, Lent is a magnifier in which we see the beauty of the gospel displayed, but also it's a magnifier on our faults, on our failings, on our need to discover the patterns of our lives that hold us back from discovering the depths of the Father's love for us. And we see it, with that magnifier, the lengths to which Christ went to save us, to ransom us, to rescue us from darkness and from sin and from eternal damnation. And it allows us this retreat, this immersion experience, so to speak. It allows us to identify obstacles to love in our own lives and to renew our commitment to live that new life that He won for us out of love for Him.
I love your saying Lent is for lovers, because if you think about it, God is love. He's the greatest lover of all times. And so it really is so appropriate that we connect true love with this season of Lent.
Absolutely. And sometimes we don't see it that way, which is why I want to remind us all to look at it that way. And that's how then penance and sacrifice we tie with love and make sense out of it, because we show our willingness to love the Lord freely and fully. We are going to freely accept the penances that the church recommends to us, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And when we say fasting, we also mean abstinence from meat on certain days, like on Ash Wednesday and on every Friday of Lent. But we also show our willingness and our love by extending ourselves beyond just that in giving of ourselves. And we draw, or Lent draws our attention to what it means to live all year round and all life long, a life of penance, as St. Francis of Assisi would call it. He would call his followers, I happen to be a Franciscan, a secular Franciscan, or a third order Franciscan. He says that we're called to a life of penance, which means a life of total conversion, of ongoing conversion, of metanoia, a change from the inside out, so that we might adopt Christ's way of looking at life, at looking at others, at his way of thinking, or as St. Paul would say, to take on the mind of Christ. In other words, to follow Christ's way of life. And so Lent allows us, and penance and sacrifice during Lent, allows us to sort of be revealed to ourselves, to see our sinful inclinations, to see our sin patterns, to see the temptations that we are most prone to that come to us from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to reevaluate and to reassess the value of things, be they temporal or eternal. And penance and sacrifice during Lent allow us to foster discipline and self-mastery in the face of all the love-killing, selfishness, and self-centeredness that we face on a day-to-day basis. So it's for lovers, and it purifies us, and it readies us, lends us, readies us for love to both receive and to give love more purely and more genuinely.
Martha, can you talk about some of the key ways in which we see Christ revealing God's intimate love for us during this season of Lent?
Well, we begin with the thought that this is entering into the desert with Jesus and like Jesus. And so just as the Lord goes and sets aside time in solitude and in prayer, I see that as a sign of his love for us, that he would take time aside to be with the Father so as to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because the scriptures say that he was led into the desert by the Holy Spirit. So he's already full of the Spirit, but to be ready for the mission, because after his 40 days in the desert, he comes and begins his public ministry, which of course then leads to his passion and death and his resurrection. So the desert should be seen also as a gift of love from our Lord, that he would endure their temptations for us, that he would show us also in his love what it means to face the temptations that the devil throws at us, as he did throw out them the temptations to Jesus, what it means to be able to face them and to conquer them, to triumph over those three temptations which Satan posed to him, you know, trying to have him eat when he was fasting, or have him try to tempt the Lord, which is a sin, to tempt the Lord to throw himself off and have the angels guard him, as the psalm says, or the worst of all, to worship Satan when we would never worship anyone but God alone. And so, as St. Ambrose says, these appetites and this boasting and this ambition that are presented to us, you know, the delight of the flesh and the pomp of vainglory and the greediness of power, these are things that are presented to us in our day-to-day life. And so the Lord in his love shows us how to enter into the desert, how to battle, make battle, and to be battle ready so as to overcome that greediness of power, that lust of domination, that lust of advantage and power and glory, as St. Augustine or St. Augustine would say. And so I see in the desert the triumph through self-denial, through sobriety, through trust, the humility, the obedience, and the filial love that Jesus demonstrates in the desert is a model for us. So in his loving kindness, he shows us when temptation comes your way, this is how you are to take the word of God, Jesus Christ incarnate, as your shield, and the word of God written for us, and not allow the enemy to twist it and use it against you, but use the word against the enemy, against the temptations, so that you might be ready for the glorious Easter.
Martha, our Lord wants our hearts. He wants our hearts so that we become people of love. What are ways that we can increase and reveal our love for God and for others throughout Lent?
Well, we need to enter into our desert. We need to take time and retreat. We need more solitude. We need more quiet time. We need less media, less distractions, the less busyness. So now we're going to carve out a time. The church has carved it out for us, these 40 days. But within these 40 days, I need to make sure that I carve out more solitude, that I face my temptations, or as people like to say, their demons, which they use in a metaphorical sense, but friends. Literally, we need to face demons that are all over, as we always pray to St. Michael, you know, the demons that prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. So this is a time for me to battle the flesh through fasting, to battle the lust of the eyes, as St. John says in 1 John 2:16, through almsgiving, to battle the pride of life through humility and through prayer and through sacrifice. So for many of us, it's going to mean more prayer time, daily or frequent Mass, besides Sunday Mass, of course, more spiritual reading, use some of the classics, some of the big heavy hitters, you know, some of the saints and doctors of the church, rosary in hand as our weapon against evil, and more heart-to-heart talks with our Lord. In addition to that, of course, fasting, giving up something that really matters, that really is a sacrifice, something that will really bring you to that interior conversion, that metanoia that we're seeking and that we need to seek every day of our lives. And almsgiving, giving of yourself, giving of your time, giving of your treasure, giving of your talent. Bible reading for sure, John, throughout Lent. That is one way in which we're going to show our love to the Lord. And we're going to grow in love because the Word of God is going to permeate our minds and our thoughts and our reasoning and our decision-making. And, of course, we're going to face our temptations and our sinfulness by confession. And this is the time of the year, especially when during the Lenten season and Easter season, when if you're not prone to go to confession regularly, which I highly recommend at least once a month, this is the time for an extended examination of conscience and confession, and many parishes will have penance services, so that's a great time to go. And of course, not to be forgotten, the Stations of the Cross are a sign of our love. One of the things, I'm going to be honest here with you all, every year when the Lent comes around, I think, oh, Stations of the Cross, I leave with, when I kneel, because you're kneeling every time, right? You genuflect, and it's, 14 times? And then my muscles are hurting the next day because obviously I don't go to the gym. Some of you might, so it doesn't bother you. So even those little tiny sacrifices, those are things that show our love, our willingness to be out there in public, showing that we're sins, wearing the ashes tomorrow, and making time for Christ, entering the desert with him.
Martha, a final thought. What would you say to someone who's going through a tough time at this moment? Many ongoing challenges and tribulations, and it's hard to really get focused on Lent. Maybe a word of inspiration.
Yes. To those of you who are suffering, for whom life is a perpetual Lent, or just are not in the mood, God sees you. God hears you. Even if he appears to have gone on an extended vacation or have forgotten you, you are not forgotten. I see you. I hear you. We, the body of Christ, see you. You're not alone. You're not abandoned. You're not forgotten. You are not insignificant. Your life might be a mirror of the suffering servant. Look it up in Isaiah, the Songs of the Suffering Servant. Your life might be a sign and a symbol of the mystery of redemptive love. So offer yourself to Christ on the cross, and find in there the meaning and the purpose of that God who loves you, sees you, and hears you.
Martha, as always, thanks so much. How can the folks find you and bring you to their parish or their conference?
Look me up at rememberyouareloved.com and at marthafernandezsardina.com. You can send me an email from there. And remember, this Lenten season and always, remember you are loved.
And so are you. Martha Fernandez-Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Relevant Radio CEO Father Francis Hoffman, Father Rocky, will join us to continue talking about prayer and fasting for peace in Ukraine, as well as how to have a super-duper Lent. So stay with us. There's much more to come after this short timeout.
You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
Coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning. To you.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us this good morning. Now, can you believe that Lent begins tomorrow with Ash Wednesday? In fact, today is Fat Tuesday. A lot of folks may be
cooking and baking some donuts today on this Fat Tuesday. I know my wife loves to do that. We're joined now live by Father Francis Hoffman, Father Rocky, the CEO of Relevant Radio, to talk about all things Lent, how we can have a super-duper Lent and really seeking a conversion of heart and how we can unite ourselves as we fast and pray for peace in Ukraine. Father Rocky is a priest of Opus Dei. He was ordained by Pope St. John Paul II and is the author of several books, including Mary at the Crossroads of History. Good morning, Father Rocky. Thanks for joining us this morning. It's always great to be with you.
John, it's great to be with you, and that's the first time I heard that bumper music for your show. Good morning. Good morning. It really puts you in a good mood.
Absolutely.
I think that's from a movie from, what, the 40s or something like that?
Yeah, well, we need some cheering up, Father Rocky, as you know, with everything that's going on in our world. In fact, I almost feel a little guilty talking about Fat Tuesday today, especially when you consider what's happening in Ukraine. And the Holy Father has called for a day of prayer and fasting for peace in Ukraine tomorrow on Ash Wednesday. Can you talk about your perspective of what's happening in that country, the humanitarian crisis, and why our hearts are united to the Ukrainian people?
Happy to do so. And this isn't the first time Pope Francis has put out a worldwide call for prayer and fasting. I remember the first time was very early on in his pontificate, and that was back in 2013. So recall he was elected on March 13th, 2013. And then early September, I remember very well because it was on a Saturday, which I think was the feast of the birth of Our Lady, September 8th. There was a potential crisis in the near Middle East, with Syria and perhaps Lebanon. And the way I understand it, American forces, Soviet forces, and China forces were all scrambling for control of this part of the world because of the oil pipeline and all that. And I remember the Holy Father called for that Saturday to be a day of prayer and fasting. And with very little notice, they organized a prayer vigil in St. Peter's Square that afternoon. And what really grabbed my attention, he summoned the ancient image of Our Lady known as Salus Populi Romani, or that's Latin for salvation of the Roman people or health of the Roman people, which is housed or displayed, I should say, in a magnificent side chapel in the oldest church in the western part of the world dedicated to Our Lady, which is called St. Mary Major or Santa Maria Maggiore. And they brought that image out. And I did a little research. I said, this is very rare. You know, that image has been there for over 1,000 years. Some people think it may even have been painted by St. Luke. And I think the previous time it was brought out was during a pandemic in the 1800s. And long story short, what do you remember about that war from 2013? Nothing. Because it never happened. And the corollary to that, I remember that day Notre Dame was playing Michigan at football. And since Notre Dame are good Catholic boys, they fasted and prayed that day. Because they fasted, they were weaker on the field, and that's why Michigan won. That's the only reason why Michigan won that day, right? But I remember that very clearly. And then at the very beginning of the pandemic, do you remember that? It was March 30th, and everything had shut down. And the Holy Father called for prayer and penance and adoration there on the front steps of St. Peter's. And they had that miraculous crucifix, which had been brought out during the bubonic plague, I think, of the 1500s. And they brought that to St. Peter's. And again, they had that miraculous image of Our Lady presiding over there. And some people can roll their eyes and raise their eyebrows and think this is an empty gesture, because I've seen that in news media commentary, that this is an empty gesture that the Holy Father went to the Russian embassy. It's a almost unprecedented gesture that he would do that. So it shows you how concerned he is about the situation. And he doesn't condemn Russia. He doesn't condemn Ukraine. He doesn't take sides, but he condemns war and those who facilitate war, manufacturers of armaments and such. And he invites all of us to pray. And prayer is powerful. I've come to that conclusion, John. Prayer is more powerful than politics. And I'm not saying that politics don't have a place and education doesn't have a place and all the rest, but prayer is truly powerful. Prayer can change the course of history. And we see that in the Old Testament. Remember the story about Jonah? God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh and tell the Ninevites to repent, but he didn't want to do it. It really was going to complicate on his life. So he got on a ship to try to escape, and that brought down storms, and finally they tossed him in the sea. He was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, and finally he manned up to the situation and went to Nineveh and started proclaiming 40 days more, and Nineveh will be destroyed because you have invited God's wrath because of your sinfulness. And it really resonated with the king of Nineveh, and he realized what this guy's saying is true. We need to repent, and we need to pray, and we need to fast. And so he called for fasting and prayer among everyone in the kingdom, including the animals. Isn't that funny? Including the animals, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. And what happened, it changed the day. It staved off God's anger. And I never like to be alarmist. I always like to see the positive. And I don't like people to be worried or dread because God is our Father. But we do know from history that violence and war tends to easily spin out of control. It's the domino effect. We saw that in World War I, which was a complete failure of diplomacy. That war never should have happened. It was really triggered by complex diplomatic and treaty relationships between countries. And before you know it, the whole world is at war. And today, you know, you may have those treaties and such, but what's even more complex is how the whole world is connected through the internet, and the financial system is connected, and trade is connected, and all the rest. And we need some help here down on earth. That's all there is to it. So we need to pray. Last night, when we were praying the family rosary across America, you know, we receive tens of thousands of pictures of families from around the country, people who participate in the rosary. They're truly beautiful, moving, just a complete diversity of Catholic families out there. It's great to see all shapes and colors and sizes. But there's one picture of a lot of little kids, and it said, children in the Ukraine, and they were in a little chapel, about 20 of them. I would say they're all under 10 years old. They're holding the rosary, and I realized the Ukraine is a Christian country. There's Orthodox Ukrainians, and there's Catholic Ukrainians. And Russia is a Christian country, the Russian Orthodox. So, you know, we need to pray for this peace. And each one can figure out what they do tomorrow night during the Family Rosary Across America. We will pray the rosary specifically for that intention. And I want to invite everybody to do so.
Well, so Father,
some initial thoughts.
Father Rocky, I can't help but think of World War I and Our Lady of Fatima, the message that she gave to the children about the fact that war is a punishment for sin. I'd like you to give your thoughts on those words of our Blessed Mother way back in 1917 and how relevant they are today. But first, we need to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Relevant Radio CEO Father Rocky. Stay with us. There's much more on the other side.
Get connected to the conversation.
Call us now at 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio
and the Relevant Radio app.
888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. I'm John Morales. Thanks for being with us this morning as we continue our conversation. We're talking about Ash Wednesday prayers and fasting for peace in Ukraine with our very own Relevant Radio CEO, Father Francis Hoffman. Father Rocky, if we could just continue the thought that I had before the break about the words, those powerful words of Our Lady of Fatima to the three children.
Thank you for that, because that occurred to me with what's going on between Russia and the Ukraine, because Our Lady appeared to the three shepherd children in 1917. And one of the promises was that if we prayed, then the Russia would be converted, especially if she were consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary by the Holy Father and all the bishops in union with him, which never actually happened until 1985. But then within 4 years, the Iron Curtain came down, the Berlin Wall came down, and Russia overcame the scourge of communism. And it was really the generous and trusting response of three youngsters, Lucia, I think she was 12 years old, Francisco, and Jacinta were under 10 years old, and they were very generous in their response. In fact, those two children have been canonized as saints because of their generous response of prayer and fasting. And that's one of the things I love about the Family Rosary every across America every night when the youngsters call in, because they edify us with their trust and their faith and their goodness and their generosity. So tomorrow we begin Lent, Ash Wednesday, and we're all invited to pray and fast that day for peace in the Ukraine. We'll be praying the rosary at night at 7 p.m. We want to invite everyone to do that. They can join us every night of Lent at 7 p.m. Central Time. And there's no such thing as a bad rosary. You know, you might be in the living room, you have little kids and the dog, and people are fidgeting. That's okay. The rosary really is compatible with just about anything. You pray in the car, you pray in the train, in the plane, walking, sitting, you name it, you can, and that's why we make it convenient for you. But I think it's good for all of us to come up with three very simple, concrete ideas of what we can do for Lent in terms of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Some friends of mine, their fasting for Lent is they turn the TV off for Lent. And the dad tells me the house is never as happy and peaceful as in Lent.
Wow.
Because people aren't arguing and they're not getting all jazzed up by, you know, the news media that kind of specializes in polarizing people. I was having a conversation the other day with a friend. And he said, you know, we're really polarized. I said, I'm not so sure I agree with that. Here we are in a park and all these people look happy. You're out on the expressway. I don't see people driving into each other. You're out at the grocery store and people are kind. I think sometimes this polarization is just manufactured by the media to drive up ratings and clickbait, right? So people tend to be decent, helpful, work together, and we should build on that. But anyway, during Lent, I think it's good for everyone to come up with three simple, concrete ideas of something you can do every day in Lent in terms of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. I would encourage everyone to pray the rosary with us every night. I know that's a big ask, but you'd be surprised. And the families together, it brings great peace in your house. In terms of fasting, maybe, you know, just give up the TV during Lent. And in terms of almsgiving, do a little bit extra, especially for those who are neediest, whether it's the homeless or the St. Vincent de Paul Society at your church or something of that sort. And I always tell people, give till you smile. You know, many times people say, give till it hurts. I think God loves a cheerful giver. Give till you smile. I want you to be happy about it. I want you to be free about it. And I want you to experience that joy of sacrifice. And I know it sounds like a paradise. Many times people think sacrifice is going to make me sad. Actually, it frees us and helps us. Another thing people can do for Lent, of course, they've heard it a million times already, is sign up for the Lenten Lessons on the Mass. Every day in Lent for 40 days, right to your email box in the morning, you'll get a brief written lesson, and you'll also get a link to a video. Last year we produced 40 videos, but only covered half the Mass. So this year we did another 20 videos, and we took the 40 last year and made them into 20. Now I have a complete series from the beginning of Mass to the end of Mass, and you learn a lot. So I hope you can do that. And then it's important for us to remember, John, the whole purpose of this is to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, because before he began his public ministry, he prayed and fasted in the desert. That's how he prepared for his ministry. So Lent is a time to prepare to be a follower of Christ and an imitator of Christ. And that's the whole purpose of it. We have to come close to Christ, to know Jesus, to love Jesus, and to imitate Jesus. That's the whole point of it. So, you know, you'll hear a lot of things on the station that give you some ideas there. Today, you know, as we heard from Father Kubicki in his reflection, it's known by Mardi Gras, Carnival, Shrove Tuesday, Punchki Tuesday, Pancake Day, whatever it is. Sure. But I think people also look forward to Lent to do a little bit more for God, you know, that we need that. And then really encourage everybody to go to Mass tomorrow and receive your ashes on the forehead. It's kind of an American custom for Catholics to wear that ash on their forehead all day long. It's a way to acknowledge Christ. In other countries, that's not the case. They kind of wipe the ashes off their forehead immediately. I've seen that in Italy and Spain. They think Americans are crazy that we walk around with a cross on our forehead all day. But I think it fits right in with the gospel. Jesus said, "He who acknowledges me before men and women, I will acknowledge before my Father." I think it's okay for people to know we are Catholics. It's one of the few things we do that publicly mark us as a Catholic. I mean, Muslim women, the way they dress, you can tell they're Muslim, right? Orthodox Jews, by the way they dress, you can know they're Orthodox Jews. Mennonites and Amish, the way they dress, you can tell they belong. This is like one of the few markers that we do as Christians. Very important for us, I would say, as Cardinal George would say, in the anthropological identification of what it means to Christian. We have a set of beliefs. We have a person that we are devoted to and we're loyal to. So that's all part of the Ash Wednesday. We begin these 40 days and looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
So those are my thoughts.
Absolutely, Father. And, you know, tomorrow is a great opportunity to really show other people that we are Catholic. I mean, having that ash on our forehead, I always find it impressive when I see national network news anchors with ashes on their foreheads. That means they're not afraid to go on national TV and show that they're Catholic.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it's a good marker, and it's a reminder for everyone that we have the shared heritage and the shared belief and trust in Christ. Because normally we don't wear a religion on our sleeve, which is a good thing. Our religion and our Christianity really has to show by our actions and our words, you know, that we speak with the words of Christ. And the best compliment anyone could ever give to you or to me would be to say, "Well, that was a very Christian thing to do." Or that was a very Christian thing to say, and that's the whole point. We need to be Christian as an adjective, right? That our behavior, our words, our attitude is like Christ. And that takes a lot of grace. It takes a lot of effort on our part, daily self-reform. But getting back to Fatima, I have been to Fatima once. I was very eager to go there. Because I know St. John Paul II was the target of an assassination on the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, May 13th, 1991. I remember it very, very clearly. And at that time, the tanks of Russia were lined up on the border of Poland. Ronald Reagan was rehabilitating in the hospital because he was the target of an assassination attempt. And Stefan Wyszynski, the cardinal primate of Poland, was on his deathbed. It was really the height of the Cold War, 1981. And what came true that day was Our Lady's prophecy to Sister Lucia at Fatima in 1917, that if Russia were not consecrated to her Immaculate Heart, entire nations would be annihilated. That was the case with Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. Russia would spread her errors throughout the world. That was the case with Marxist ideology throughout Asia, parts of Africa, Central America, South America. And that the Holy Father himself would have a lot to suffer. And so we saw that. And reflecting on that event, St. John Paul II confided to his closest colleagues, he said, "I think one finger pulled the trigger and another finger guided the bullet." Because the would-be assassin Mehmet Aliajka was an expert marksman, and he was befuddled why he wasn't able to kill the Pope, because he missed by a millimeter an artery or something. And then what's amazing, this comes out in Drew's book in Divine Mercy. Years later, Mehmet Aliajka confessed his sins and became a Catholic.
Amazing.
Isn't that an amazing story?
It is absolutely amazing.
That's an amazing story. And I never knew that until Drew wrote his book, because it really didn't get much play in the media. But that's an amazing thing. Somebody who, and I remember that cover on Time magazine. Remember that? The Pope in the prison cell of Mehmet Aliajka forgiving him. So, oh my goodness, that's a very Christian thing to do, right? And it's a day for all of us to examine our conscience. If we have feuds with family members, it is not a Christian thing to say, "I won't talk to that person." That's not Christian. We have to forgive people, right? We have to be open. So we pray for that. And we pray that people have the grace and the humility, right? That's what it all comes down to, humility. To recognize, you know, nobody gets as much as they want in this life, John, but we all get more than we deserve. And we should always live every day with gratitude.
Absolutely. Father Rocky, in the couple minutes that we have left, your final thoughts on how we can unite ourselves in solidarity with the Ukrainian people. I've had the opportunity to actually talk to many Ukrainian people and Ukrainian priests, Catholics here in the Chicago area about the homeland, about their fears for their relatives back in Ukraine. And so that's what we focus on tomorrow as we pray for peace and an end for this conflict with Russia.
Yeah, and you and your show are doing a great job on that by highlighting and featuring that, because many Americans really don't know much about the Ukraine. You know, it's a big, big world, and to the degree that you can spotlight that, that's helpful to our audience. And then we'll invite people to join us for the Family Rosary Across America every evening at 7 p.m. as we hearken to the Holy Father's call to pray and fast. And I don't know any prayer, a petition more powerful than the rosary. And I think it's powerful because it's so simple and humble. Even a four-year-old can pray the rosary. And if we just make that little effort, we'll see God's grace flourish. And we want peace. We want the best for the Russian people. We want the best for the Ukrainian people. We want the best for the Chinese people, right? The enemies aren't outside. The enemies are always within our heart. That's important for us to know as Christians. We never should regard anyone as an enemy. But we should forgive, we should pray for people, and to the degree that we can make sacrifices that benefit others, that's the very Christian thing to do.
Excellent. Father Rocky, we'll have to leave it right there. I want to remind our listeners to sign up for Father Rocky's new Lenten Lessons on the Mass, and you can do it this morning at relevantradio.com/Lent. Father Rocky, it's been a joy as always. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thanks, John. God bless you. Bye now.
God bless you, too. Father Francis Hoffman, the CEO of Relevant Radio. Now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Focus. It's from Jen Kish. Today, I found myself complaining about the rising cost of fuel, and then I remembered that I'd never had to run from missiles. I worried if I needed to stock up on a few staples, then I realized I'd never had to send my children to school with their blood type taped on their backs. I shook my head at the thought of our young men and women headed overseas, and then I remembered that for the Ukrainians, war showed up on their doorsteps. Then I decided I won't sit in my house in suburbia and brood over the downward turn of the stock market while people are literally facing death. Instead, I'm going to pray. I know that God will hear from heaven, that he'll lean down to listen when I pray. The Bible tells me that. I'm going to pray that whatever evil intends, that God would turn it around for his glory. I'm going to pray that good would overcome evil, and that it would happen sooner rather than later. I'm going to pray that God would hear the cry of every lost soul facing a war they didn't want and come to their rescue. I'm praying for the overwhelming supernatural presence of God Almighty in every corner of the world tonight. I'm here to ask if you'd pray with me. Let's fill the throne room with our voices as we call out for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. May God hear our prayers and turn this whole thing around. If he can shut the mouths of hungry lions, split an entire sea in half, and raise the dead, he can surely save Ukraine. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible."
Thanks so much, Glenn. Nothing is impossible with God. That'll do it on this edition of Morning Air for Glenn Leverins, for producers Gabby Berg, Mariano Gomez, Sarah Tafoya, our entire Morning Air team. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. As Jesus the Lord says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.